Hello and welcome once again to Crazy Comics and Stories. It's me, your charming and delightful old Uncle Rat Bastard, introducing episode 197, three to go! And at the other end of the series of tubes and wires we call the internets is Joe, Crazy Writer. How you doing today, Joe?
You know what else is right around the corner?
Christmas?
Well, before that, we got to go to the Midwest Comic Book Association Fall Comic Con. Comic Book Party, October 10th, 2015, 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. The one-day wonder, 420 minutes of extreme comic book action at the Minnesota State Fairgrounds Education Building. For more information, you can go to their website, although they haven't updated it in a while, www.mcbacomiccons.com.
Well, got that out of the way early, didn't you?
Well, you know, I figure we get the plugs going, then we can have a good rousing discussion.
Well, here's the thing. It's not just around the corner. October is months away. That means I have a lot of time to get ready for the challenge to my title.
Yes.
And then someone else challenged me, former Archie and Vertigo colorist and guest of the solo podcast, Stephanie Kofel, actually said she wants to take me on as the weirdo, as one of the weirdest people in the world. Joe, I'm beset on all sides. Thank goodness we've got the podcast where we treat each other with dignity and respect.
What crickets like that one?
Well, not only that, I know that I'm going to be treated with dignity and respect because Jin's not on the podcast, and you two usually team up and
yeah, fish in a barrel. Against me. Very easy, fish in a barrel.
So, I hear that there's some changes in your job status.
Yes.
I have heard rumors. This reporter has well-placed sources.
Which reporter?
Me. Where? And needs you? To know just what is going on.
I am actually changing hours and position at
You're going to be laying down instead of standing up?
No, probably more standing, a little more physicality. I'm moving from checkpoint back to baggage because a long time ago I was just baggage only, and that was before I actually got on the road. Was I on the road? Did we start the podcast before I was on the road or while I was?
No, you were on the road.
Okay. So if you go back, way back in the beginning, because how many of this here podcasts do we got?
197.
So if you go back to the beginning, you know, I'll be in baggage and then I will get on the road. And that's when I got out of baggage. And when you're on the road, you got to be both checkpoint and baggage. Usually it's different skill sets. So there's very little crossover. And from there, when I got back off the road, I had to decide, did I want to go to baggage or go to checkpoint? I thought I'd go to checkpoint. And we see how well that's worked out. The opportunity arose due to someone retiring to take his spot in baggage. And so I decided to do that. It's back to my beloved 10-hour days. I mean, they are long, but the nice thing about it is that you get 3 days off. And with those 3 days off, I might even get that there long promised, never delivered solo Joe podcast going. Yeah, I wouldn't hold my breath on it.
So not only are you back in baggage, but you have a lot of baggage.
And there might be some times when I can download these here old episodes and listen through them and see what type of promises we never fulfilled.
Yeah, that'd be all of them.
Pretty much, yeah.
I don't think we've delivered on a single promise.
Occasionally we'll say we'll do this in the next podcast, and by the time the next week comes around, we've totally blanked and nobody's called us on it. So, you know, we smugly just continue on with onto the 198th podcast without even thinking, did we fail to deliver on the 197th?
Well, the good thing is we deliver every episode. Every episode is a steaming pile of joy because we are.
Don't say steaming. No. We had. We
are. a national treasure.
You are. I don't want to be. I want to go through life anonymously.
Oh, you don't want Nicolas Cage hunting for you through all sorts of bizarre traps with John Voight by his side?
I want Dog the Bounty Hunter on the same continent as me. I mean...
A whole lot's been going on in the funny book world, Joe.
Yeah.
We've got some fallout from Marvel's big announcement. DC had been promising a big October for the past 2 months, mm-hmm. and because Marvel kind of dropped a rock on it, they've moved a lot of it to January.
Crunch.
The new comic sales figures came out. Marvel now holds 40% of the market, with DC holding about 25% of the market. So we're right back to where we were before the new 52.
How about Robert Kirkman thinks that Image Comics has a good chance of overtaking DC and maybe even taking down Marvel, you know, within the next 5 to 10 years?
I could see maybe DC, depending on the moves they make over the next few years. But here's the big story that a lot of people seem to be ignoring. Comic sales, when you look at actual dollars sold, higher than at any point in the last 20 years.
Of course,
that's
question...
That's all the way back to 95, Joe.
Now, how does that jive with sales? Because you're always bemoaning the fact that even the best-selling comic is barely making over 100,000.
Well, Secret Wars is selling a hell of a lot more than 100,000.
But how much of that, I wonder, is regular cover versus all these goofy variant covers?
Well, they go by actual dollars. Now, remember that comics back then were about $2. Now they're $4. Trade paperbacks were just getting underway. Now they're a huge part of the market. But the one thing that I really find fascinating is, while we don't have huge numbers at the top like we did back in the 90s, back in like 97, 98, the number 300 book was only selling like 600 to 700 copies. The number 300 book is now selling between 4,000 and 7,000 copies, depending on what month it is. So while the highs aren't as high, you've got an incredibly long tail. And there's been a lot of talk about with comic artists that so many of them are not making a living at it. The one dirty little secret that a lot of people who work at Image and the smaller press are saying is, if you own it, you can make money selling fewer copies. Kieran Gillen, who does Marvel stuff and Image stuff, says his Image stuff, which sells a third of his Marvel stuff, actually generates more money for him and the artist than if they had the same book with 60,000 sales at Marvel. And that's why I think Kirkman is right. Not because Image is going to, you know, blow the roof off, but because more and more creators are going to take their destiny in their own hands, and they're going to go to Image. And they're going to take the deal that Image has, where Image kind of brands it and puts it in, and they get more of the profit, and they own it.
We've talked in the past about how a lot of things in Marvel are profit-driven. In other words, if Marvel as an entity under Disney makes money, Disney will leave Marvel alone. Although, you know, with the Marvel Avengers movies, you know, that's a different area. They seem to be definitely happy to muddle in there, as Josh Whedon has attested to. Now, the question becomes is, will Disney care if Marvel's share of the market shrinks, say Image does overtake them? Or will they be happy, you know, you're making money, we don't care? You know, some of it we've seen, we've heard things, okay, they're not going to keep trades in stock. They're stopping lines. The omnibus are definitely getting cut back. We're not going to see them being $5 out at cons again. And the same question for DC. Will Time Warner care, as long as DC makes money, what their market share is.
That's hard to say. I know the new 52 was started because they were very concerned that their market share and dollars were dropping month by month by month by month.
Now the question
is,
was
that able to get the approval to shake things up?
Was that DC or was that Time Warner?
That was Time Warner, because if you notice, it was after Paul Levitz was kind of retired. And as they were announcing that DC would be more centrally located to Warner Brothers. And the other thing I find really interesting is that DC's kind of creator-owned arm, the Vertigo line, even though they said last year, we're really going to work hard to make Vertigo important again, they haven't. Vertigo has introduced two books, Suiciders, which is dead on arrival, and a bunch of Mad Max
movie
titans.
No. Okay, just checking, because that's my job. If you start punning around, I don't bring nothing to the table.
And a bunch of Mad Max licensed books, which, licensed books at Vertigo, kind of weird. I actually read one of them. They're terrible. I don't read them. Don't read them. Don't read them. And I think one of the things about DC is we have no idea about their digital. But I noticed they're not emphasizing the digital as much as they used to, whereas Marvel's really going out of their way, not just pushing Marvel Unlimited, but they really still push their digital with the digital codes and all the $3.99 books. They advertise a lot of their digital stuff online. Marvel's being very aggressive, and DC kind of is like, oh, yeah, we have digital. And I think DC, you know how DC was doing the $3.99 and with $4.99 you'd get the digital? That's gone. After Convergence, I don't think any books are doing that anymore. Joe, do you think, I know the Images digital is another one of those where we don't hear a lot about. Do you think digital's actually going to be much of a thing for comics in the next 5 years?
It's hard to say. I mean, you know, music's gone that route. It's hard. There was an experiment that Eric Larson did with formatting his book. I think it was Savage Dragon 190. It had to come out in like a little pamphlet size that was like 5x5, and then, of course, in the regular comic book. But he had to draw the comic differently so that it would work in the smaller size in addition to work in the larger size. Now, I read the smaller size first, and then I went to the bigger size, and you could kind of tell where he had done it. I mean, if you never read the small pamphlet size, you probably never would have made a difference if you just read the normal comic book size. That being said, if a creator creates his comic in such a way that I can view it better on my iPad, or iPhone, I should say, it could take off a little bit better. But I just don't see that happening. I've downloaded comics. I've looked at them. They don't work well for the most part because you have to readjust it to get to the word balloons, to get to the action. It flows the whole flow off. And that just might be me. Because, again, I'm the guy who still, you know, spent an hour walking through Best Buy looking at CDs and DVDs, whereas my daughters would just turn around and download it. When they get back, and again, a promise that we may or may not follow through on, I will have to ask them if they have as much interest downloading a comic as they do downloading DVDs, TV shows, CDs, music, things like that. Because that'll be what makes comics digital take off or not. If you get the younger generation doing it. Because I got to admit, I was looking at Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. in Target the other day, and as per usual, season 1 is dropped. season two is still up there, but I'm like, it's on Netflix. What's the point? I can get it on my phone. I can get it on my computer. I got it on my Roku. I've got it on anywhere I want. To own the physical disc doesn't have any benefit to me. So, you know, the short answer, if they draw the comics to take advantage of the digital format, yes. If not, which I don't think they are, I can't see it happening. I can't see reading Walking Dead on my Samsung Galaxy here. It just wouldn't work. I'd go crazy trying to, expand the word balloons and then shrink down the so I could see the art and so on for an entire book. Then again, I'm old.
One of the things about digital comics for me is Marvel especially uses a lot of big double-page spreads with, a big double-page spread and then a bunch of panels in on that double page. And when I get to that page on Marvel Unlimited, oh, my God, it's such a pain in the ass to read. Because my tablet is the same, pretty much the same dimensions as a comic book page. But then you're squeezing two pages in, so everything shrinks. But then there are panels, so you have to, I need this panel bigger so I can read it, and then I got to shrink it down and move over and look here, and then the whole image. And I know on a page it looks really cool when that happens, but digitally, those pages are almost impossible to read. And there are some Brian Michael Bendis books that are half two-page spreads with panels on them. Those are the ones where I go, okay, I'm going to wait and I'm going to look that on my desktop because it's unreadable. It's just unreadable on my tablet. So my verdict on what Kirkman said, I am about to render judgment.
Dun, dun,
John, are you ready?
Hang on. I'm holding on to things. I'm ready. Case the earth moves.
My judgment is... No. I think Marvel is going to lead the field. I think Marvel's movies are driving sales more than we think. And I think they're making a phenomenal amount of money on digital because, boy, that Marvel Unlimited, that's $10 a month. And all they really do is, oh, okay, we've already scanned these. Just put them on the server, put them on the server, put them on the server, put them on the server. And on Marvel Unlimited, you can see where people are. What they're reading most this week, that stuff from the early and mid-60s dominates that list. I can see Image outplacing DC because I think DC is making – they're starting to make some good moves, but I think it's almost too late because in a lot of ways DC is like TNA. How many times are they going to reboot? Okay, it's 1 year later. Ah, now we're rebooting everything. Up, now we brought back the multiverse. Up, down.
Well, I have said what I thought was fun with both Convergence and Secret Wars, and it's becoming apparent. I did read through the freebie magazine that Marvel gave out last week, and I think it's actually kind of a neat thing because what they're doing now is shaking things up in such a way where they can take a property such as Old Man Logan, who is, in a future dystopia. Well, he's in the present now. And if we want to use him, we can use him. We don't have to think of some time travel, hodgepodge, higgly-wiggly, timey-wimey stuff to get him here. Now, I don't see DC doing that yet, but they've said the multiverse is here, so they just got to... if they actually start exploiting that. Oh, telephone! Telephone!
Hello?
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 Hello? They hung up. Oh, well.
Who was it?
They didn't say.
They didn't hang up. They're still calling.
Oh, they must call on the second line. Hang on, let me get it. I'm on my way. Don't hang up. Hang on. I'm coming.
Maybe they want to know if Joe wants to buy some magazines.
Son of a bitch, they hung up. Oh, God damn, I'm in the wrong room. Hang on, I'm coming back. I'm coming back. Oh, my God.
by the time
Ryan
he gets back, we'll get another
call,
episode.
Telling me I won $1 million. Oh, I'm sorry, I'm back. What did I miss?
Was it Chris calling from the airport saying that she's not coming back to the U.S.?
No, she's ready to come back.
Really?
I think she's almost like 2 weeks is too much. The kids are getting cranky. And not to mention, they had to take a 7-hour train ride, which normally isn't bad because I like trains. But they weren't air conditioned.
But you're not there.
Well, they weren't air conditioned.
Oh.
It's 90 degrees in Italy.
Where did they go that they needed to be on a train for 7 hours?
I don't know, but I'm sure when Dana gets back, they'll explain it. Because basically, you don't drive. You use the train to go anywhere you want.
Right.
Dana took the train from Bologna all the way into England in order to go see the Avenger movie.
Oh, cool.
And so when they got their customs, you're doing what? I think Chris is ready to come home. And she's still got good Lord, they got a long plane ride to do that. But yeah, we're recording this Monday, and they'll be home Wednesday. And of course, we also have to say happy birthday, 70th birthday to Batman actor Burt Ward, because as we record this podcast, he's celebrating his birthday, which is why he's not here with us today. He had a good excuse.
President Obama doesn't have a good excuse.
Nope, we're still waiting on him. He's been pretty cocky lately. I mean, geez, Obamacare, the all these rulings going his way.
Yeah, and the people who listen to the right-wing radio say he's about to declare martial law so that they never remove him from office.
And he said that he was going to sign some legislation to outlaw July 4th.
Oh, well, I thought he was going to sign something to say that we could never see the Dukes of Hazzard again, which, to be honest, I agree with.
I want to know what happened to the replacement cousins. I'm more interested in a show with them.
Oh, we know where they are. Have you ever watched Logan's Run, Joe?
Oh, my Lord. Long, long time ago.
Renew!
I got to admit, that was one of the first science fiction movies I ever saw in the theater, which was the movie itself, the one obviously with Michael York, was pretty sweet. I mean, for 70s technology. Now you look at it and it's like, oh, what was so cool 40 years ago, it was just a hologram strip that they're spinning around, you know, and going, rah, rah. And, of course, you know, we were all scandalized because when they got to Block's Ice Palace, he basically had frozen all the humans. And, of course, we got to see frozen boobies. boobies.
The other thing about Logan's Run is pretty much once Star Wars came out, it was, oh, wow, that looks old.
Yeah. Now, if you ever want to read the books, it's a 3-book series.
Yes.
Very good. You could probably pick them up cheap on eBay or somewhere. But I have them somewhere in my vast quantities of crap. And if I do find them, I just love reading them because they are worth picking up.
I read them years and years and years and years ago and absolutely loved them.
And, of course, every time you go to Crazy Horse Monument, you'll never look at it the same.
Well, it'll look the same no matter how long ago you went there, but you won't look at it the same.
No, it's because they'll be running around inside it.
I've told the Crazy Horse story when I was our last trip as a family. We went through South Dakota in a day. We spent like 3 hours at Crazy Horse, and there was nothing to do. And we were running so late by the time we got to Mount Rushmore. We did the National Lampoon Vacation thing where we went up, took 2 pictures, went down, and went in that lab. But every so often I'll look and see, you know, Crazy Horse said, yep, looks exactly the same as it did in 1980.
See,
they're not doing a whole lot of work on the darn thing.
Well, no, they actually are. When I was there, it actually has a face now. So I first went way back in the 70s. It was just, you know, okay, here's what it's going to look like. But now it's got a huge visitor center. You can decide to take tours to the base of the mountain and get some decent shots. If they're not dynamiting, you can get there on days they are dynamiting and, you know, watch poof. You know, you're in the distance, so all you're going to hear is a poof. You can take tours all the way up to the face, which is, I've seen pictures up there. Oh, man, that is freaky looking. And they do have a laser show, too, during the summer, which, of course, the time we went, the lasers were broken. They are making, you know, those four presidents a little bit to the north just look like pikers. I'm telling you. And of course,
now,
a lot of it is
a laser show. It's a laser show. Woo-hoo. Are they playing Pink Floyd while they do it?
Now, the other thing I remember,
because if it's not Pink Floyd laser show, I don't want to see it.
What I remember in the '70s going by, and it was like you took a bridge over, and here's Crazy Horse. They kind of cleared out the trees on this field. So as you're coming around the highway, you will actually see the monument long before you get to the visitor center and stuff. So that's kind of impressive too. But yeah, it's changed quite a bit. And of course you can jump online and catch the pictures. And what's amazing about it, they refuse to take any government money. It's all done with donations. They probably have a foundation set up. You know, I read a little bit about when I was there. Somewhere in my house, I have two rocks from things that were blown off Crazy Horse. One of them was like a polished one you buy in the gift store, and then they have chunks of them that you can just go and grab one, you know. And, of course, we all wanted a chunk, and Chris said, one chunk. Otherwise, we just...
So did the girls pick up chunks and hide them in their pocket?
They might have. I haven't really dug through any of the girls' stuff since they've been gone.
Because that's what I would have done.
Now, I've been up in Dana Holly's room a couple times because, as Corey knows, the last couple days have been just sweatshop hot. It was almost 90. It might have hit 90. I'm not even sure. The humidity was tropical, and last night we had a cold front come through, so it's the effect of taking a wash rag and squeezing it out. Apparently, we got 4 inches of rain here. I just remember waking up at about 1 a.m. because, you know, you get them big claps of thunder really close. And every time I looked out, I didn't hear much rain, but we got quite a bit. So I had to run upstairs, close the windows. And now that the rain has moved off into Wisconsin, and apparently some of those people got like 7 inches of rain overnight, which, you know, can be deadly. Now... And this is something that, I don't know, it might be too early for freaking, but damn it all, Canadian smoke now is filling up Minnesota again. We had haze and crappy and you know, it's so bad now they're telling even people like you, Corey, that are fairly well fit should not go outside and exercise because there's so many particles in the air from all them there Canadian forest fires. I don't know what the Canucks up there are smoking up there, fellas, but you wanna put it out for a while, eh?
And I would like to let people know that we just spent like 5 minutes on weather. That's how you can tell this podcast is recorded in Minnesota.
It's like when people ask you in your house, "Hey, do you have a bathroom?" And you look at them and go, "Nah, we just shit all over the yard." Whatever.
When I first moved to the Minnesota, first off, I'm Central Illinois. The weather would come on and, you know, it's okay. Here's what the weather's like right now. Here's the map showing what, you know, here's all the fronts and everything. And here's what the weather will be like for the next week. 2 to 3 minutes tops. Here in Minnesota, the news was 5 minutes longer than it was in Illinois. And I swear to God, the weather took up that entire extra 5 minutes. The weather was almost 10 minutes long. And I'd always heard that Minnesotans talk about the weather a lot. I was shocked at the obsessive level of detail they would go into. And then I moved here after some big flash flood. They interrupted 2 hours of primetime television to talk about the rainstorm that had happened the week before.
Oh, Channel 9 was sweating it because they didn't want to have to interrupt the Women's World Cup just in case there was some bad dare weather, you know.
So
we done love our weather, but I also know we're a little bit more weather literate. It was a time we were heading out to a shopping mall and my cousins were with me. And as we were driving, I heard the tornado sirens go off. And, you know, it's kind of darkish. And you're thinking, oh, okay, we better figure out what's going on. And I look north, and just right north of Rosedale was a wall cloud. Now, for those of you who don't know, that's the big part of the thunderstorm where the cloud drops. And usually a tornado comes out of it. So if you're nearby a wall cloud, you're probably better off being somewhere else. So, well, we got to Rosedale, and I thought, you know what, let's just watch this thing, because that's the other thing that Minnesotans do when the weather goes bad. We grab our cameras and we run outside. Hell, even when they're busy, they're there. You know, severe thunderstorm watch for these areas. If you happen to get severe pictures or videos, send them to hashtag blah, blah, blah. I mean, these guys want pictures, and so I figured, okay, we'll just sit here and watch it. No, the cops came and swept everybody into the shopping mall, you know, where apparently if the tornado landed on the mall wouldn't land on us if it, you know, whatever.
I remember on that same trip where we went through South Dakota and hit all the big touristy things in a day, it's because we were visiting people we knew in Wyoming. And they had just had a tornado hit their mall in Cheyenne. And then they announced a tornado warning. Is it a warning or a what? Which one is it where the conditions are right?
When conditions are ready, it's a watch. If it's actually sighted, it's a warning.
Okay, then it was a watch. Tornado watch was announced. And you thought you would have told these people that Godzilla had been sighted a half mile away. They were, we got to get to the basement. We got to hurry. We got to grab supplies. We don't know how long we'll be down there. Oh, my God, we're doomed. We're all going to die. And, you know, we're from central Illinois, where I think from like June to mid-August, we're under a tornado watch. And we're just watching like, the hell are you people doing? So watch. You don't give a shit till you see it coming over the hill. But then again, you know, they're not in Tornado Alley. I wish we were all in Tornado Alley.
There's something in Tornado Alley, and I'm looking for it here on Google. It's not a tornado warning, but it's like beyond that. It says basically if you're in front of this
The tornado thing, is right. It's coming right at you.
Shoot it! No, it's like if they tell you this particular terminology, and again, I can't find it. It means this tornado is so freaking bad, if you're in front of it, you're pretty much dead. Oh, tornado emergency. That's what they call it. So, tornado watch.
It's a tornado emergency, so we're just letting you know you're dead.
Tornado warning and tornado emergency. Yeah, that's usually when an F5 hits you. This is one of the things about Twister, the movie, that I absolutely hate, is, you know, at the end of the movie, and if you think I'm, what is this, a 20-year-old movie, I'm spoiling it, here's spoiler warnings, you know, they run into a shack as everything's slowly being torn away from them, and they grid themselves to some ironwork that's in there, you know, some pipes or something, and they use their belt.
Yeah, it's a pipe that goes down to a well.
They strap themselves to it, the tornado comes, wipes out the shed, and of course they miraculously hang on and get to look up the middle of this thing. No. In an F5 tornado, the son of a bitch rips your clothes off, and if you're not dead from things hitting you, you will be dead from being picked up and being struck against something. Could be a tree, could be a ground. So that one threw me when I was watching, there's a tornado emergency. What the hell is that? Call the paramedics. It's down. So, yeah, I mean, that's – so apparently for people in Tornado Alley, they're so jaded by this stuff that it's not, okay, tornado watch, tornado warning. No, tornado emergency. Get your ass in gear. I mean, I basically was watching – okay, I think I was in Kansas at the time, and the tornadoes were, you know, miles north of us. And the guys are basically telling you, get underground. If you're in a mobile home, get to your shelter. If you can't, just get somewhere or you're going to be killed. They're not like sugarcoating it anymore. We is becoming dumb. But then again,
we've now spent about 10 minutes talking weather on this, our comic book podcast. Yep. Joe, did you hear about the big comic book convention controversy over the weekend?
Well, it can't have been from the MCBA because their con isn't until October 10th, 2015 at the Minnesota State Fairgrounds.
And there's never any controversy.
That's true.
Nope. Comic book artist, although you don't see his stuff on the covers of a lot of comics anymore, Arthur Soydam paid for a table. He went to...
Wait a minute. Let me understand this. He paid for a table.
Yes, paid for a table.
As opposed to the MCBA, who basically gives you a table.
That's right.
Okay, just want to bring that point out.
And that's why our admission prices are $12. Oh, wow. Look at that. Admission prices are low and artists get free tables? Anyway.
Call them crazy.
Arthur Soydam showed up. The people around him at the surrounding three tables weren't there yet. So he took their names off the table and set up his elaborate display, just taking over the four tables. Joe? I'm going to ask a hypothetical question. If you were an artist at one of those tables that you paid for, and you showed up at your table that you paid for and got a hotel room and expect to do a lot of business at, and someone had taken over your table, and when you go to the convention organizers, they just kind of go, Who would you punch in the face first?
Damn boy. I might be subtle and just put my posters over his.
The funny thing was, it started coming out over the weekend with someone tweeting about, oh, there's an artist who did this, being very coy about it for a bit. And then all of a sudden, some of the people that I follow on Twitter started joining in and knew his name just from the fact that they said, you know, he did this, because I guess he's notorious for doing this. And one of the comic writers I like, but a guy who has a bit of a anger issue at times, Mark Wade, said that he was now on the hunt for any convention he was at with Arthur Soydam, and he would play enforcer.
Mark Wade is the enforcer.
I know that at our convention, especially when I was in charge, artists never even thought of doing stuff like that. But the dealers would get a little weaselly.
Oh, especially in the back. I mean, they would give you a lot of space, but occasionally you'd have a guy who would just want to be like an extra table length back. Never, you know, and you know, you try to be fair, you know, you got a set amount of space, divide it in half. This half's yours, this half yours. There's always somebody who's, well, yeah, but this half's mine, but that half should be mine too. Or they want to move their stuff over. You know, are you going to be taking this spot? Well, that's actually how I get in and out from behind my tables. Mind if we move this pillar? I mean, it's only been holding the grandstand up for, you know, hundreds of years.
One of the things that used to drive me insane were the dealers who would bring in two or three tables, and you know, you had a certain amount of room, and they would use it not just to, you know, do some back stuff, but also to kind of push the other tables around or get rid of some of the hallway between rows of tables and stuff. And of course, you know, nobody else there would do confrontation except myself and Willie. Willie enjoyed the confrontation much more. He had no problem going up to dealers and go, get that table out of here. Take it home. You paid for two, you get two. Get that table out of here.
When the other one I like too is when later on when Pat was involved, he'd be like, hey, I don't have enough room to do this. Oh, okay. He'd open up checkbook. Here, let me refund your money to you.
Oh, no,
it's okay. I'll make it work. Have not heard of that happening since Nick got involved. I didn't hear anything happen at the last couple cons. So I think, I don't know, maybe the greedy table era is over.
Well, and the other thing about the Comic-Con See, I almost called it spring call.
Yeah, well, we'll just, the other, you guys know what we're talking about.
Fine. MSNBC Comic-Con.
MSNBC?
Yes.
M-O-U-S-E.
Comic-Con. It's so big.
How's he commies? Can't trust any of them.
That really the dealers could kind of do what they want with their tables. And while we say we're selling a table, we're also selling the space behind so they can move tables back and rearrange stuff. And there are some who do a really good job with that. But because there's so much room, you don't have that fighting. But I've never heard of artists kind of glomming extra tables. And the fact that the convention staff didn't stop him, because if I were in charge, what I would have done is I would have helped the other artists find places and went up to Arthur Sedam and say, all right, you know how we charge you $400? We're now charging you $1,600 and it needs to be paid now or you can leave. What do you mean? Well, now you have four tables. You paid for one. You now have four. And because you're doing this last minute, I might even tack on a little extra. But from now, all of this is hearsay. But from what the artists who were displaced said is they were just told, oh, we're sorry, we'll find you another place. So that people who had, you know, the convention booklet with the layout couldn't find anybody. You know, they would go up to Sedam's table and ask, where's this guy? And he would just go, I don't know. He's a glommer, Joe.
A glommer.
He's a glommer. And I hate glommers. And the last piece of news I want to talk about is one you and I giggled about a lot. For some reason, Amazing Spider-Man writer Dan Slott ventured into one of the darkest recesses of the internet. One of his wretched hives of scum and villainy. One of the places that you just don't go, and that is the John Byrne discussion board. And he committed a cardinal sin, Joe. You know what that sin was?
He didn't agree with Byrne.
Oh, worse than that.
Oh, worse?
He discussed a comic that has been made in the last 15 years.
Uh-oh. Yeah, because we all know comics have sucked since John Byrne refuses to make them.
Yes. He won't even say the word Marvel. It's M star 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 L, because, you know, he's 65 and mature that way. But I read the discussion, and one of the things that fascinated me, John Byrne was the guy who, when he would take over a comic, I'm shaking things up. He took over the Fantastic Four, pretty much ignored everything that had happened for a long time. All the character development and everything kind of took him back to the way they were in the first 30, 40 issues, and went forward from there. He's the one who had the Thing and Alicia break up, and Alicia start kind of sharing a bed with the Human Torch.
Noodling.
Yes. When he went over to Superman, no Supergirl, no Superboy. Everything changed. Everything was different. As he comes onto a book, he does that. Now, if someone does it, they're the most horrible, awful human being on the planet, and they are disrespecting the previous creators. So, Joe, what I want to know is, when do you hit that point where you go from being the person who the person who decries the old people not changing stuff to one of the old people who says these kids today with their saggy pants and their big hair and their listening to the Skrillex are the problem in this world?
See, it wasn't even that Slott went in there. It was just Byrne refused to intelligently engage him. I always say it wasn't even a name-calling thing. I mean, if you're a liberal on a Fox News board, you're just going to get people call you names till you get bored and leave. But Byrne, you know, Slott would give out these amazing compliments and talk about, well, you know, this is what we're trying to do, and, you know, sales are up, and Byrne would just, you know, give a one-sentence dismissal. You know, bah.
So, you're selling better than I did on Captain America 30 years
ago?
Not
even that. It's like, doesn't even matter. You know, it's like, you're just a crotchety old bastard who just why have a board if you don't want to engage in anything? Are you that devoid of any social contact that you can only deal with people that, yes, John, you're right, John, you're brilliant, John. Boy, people are dumb, John. They should just listen to you, John. Hey, John, can I stick my tongue up your ass, John? Hey, yeah, I obviously like you, John. Yeah, you do a pedigree, John. Hey, let me take care of your wife for you, John. Hey, come on, John. Hey, Johnny. I mean, seriously, I couldn't believe the conversation. I've always heard how cratchety Byrne is. It's not even worth being a troll there, because it's not that he trolls you. He just, you don't understand.
Spider-Man should be a teenage kid.
Forever. He wasn't even a teenage kid.
And he should be taking pictures for the newspaper.
Forever.
No one takes pictures for the newspaper.
Forever. Yeah, it was surreal. I mean, go find the conversation if you want. But, I mean, I always thought, Byrne's just, people just don't like Byrne. He's a little overrated. No, Byrne, you just need to drop into a hole and take your artistic talent with you. Well, not really. I do like the Star Trek photo things. You can keep doing those.
I think the problem is you hit a point where you're no longer the angry young man, and you see that the stuff you did is being treated like you treated the work before you. And there are some people who can handle it well. Peter David still can hang and bang with the young creators, and he's around the same age as Byrne. He still has books coming out for Marvel. His work is still relevant. He's changed with the times. But there was one writer who I really used to enjoy. We had at our convention, and he was sitting around bitching about how comics now are decompressed. Because he took an assignment, they wouldn't let him use thought balloons. They wouldn't let him do long continuity flashback stuff. They wouldn't let him do continuity implants. And he was complaining about how, comics aren't the way they used to be. Yes, comics have changed. You can't get away with a page of tons and tons of text. People are more visual when they read their comics now. They want their comics to be more visual. They want the dialogue to seem more realistic rather than, gee, Iron Man, let me explain where I've been for the past three issues. That's wonderful, Thor. Tell me about when you were up in Asgard and all the stuff that happened in your own book. Blah, 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 blah. When I read 70s books, yes, I have love in my heart because it's what I started reading. But, oh, my God, the endless info dumps. Like, it's second or third page is the hero either in the middle of a fight remembering what happened the last three issues or, just kind of walking, filling you in on what happened with the last three issues. It's like, oh, my God, I've read these issues. They're the previous page. And with Byrne, he wants to tell stories in a specific time. I think on Byrne's last run at DC, his stuff set in the past was wonderful. His stuff set in the current time, like the Demon or Doom Patrol or Lab Rats, was just unreadable.
Didn't he just decide that Demon wasn't rhyming anymore?
Yeah. He just said that's not the way Kirby did it. Boom. Even though the fact that Alan Moore kind of explained he's been raised a level because of what he had done in the Kirby and all the other stuff. Okay, now he's a more powerful demon, therefore he's going to talk in rhyme. Rather than explain it or anything, Byrne just said, yeah, I'm ignoring all those stories. And I always go back to Wonder Woman where, hey, we didn't explain where Wonder Woman was in the Justice Society. Yeah, well, we kind of did in this and this and this. No, we never explained that, so I'm going to. It was her mom time traveling in a Wonder Woman costume.
See, and I enjoyed that just because I thought that was a rather elegant way of explaining it.
Except we'd had it fixed.
Well, not really. It wasn't really fixed. It was just kind of ignored. It's like everything DC did. Oh, there was no Superman or Wonder Woman or Batman, but the energies went into these guys called Iron Mike and what was that other chick's name?
Fury.
And wasn't she the one who made Daniel who became another Sandman?
Yes. Trap?
Wasn't it this and that? Again, I have no problems with the continuity fix. To me, I thought it was elegant. I mean, then again, I also thought the Clone Saga was a cool idea. It just executed poorly.
Well, and at the end of it, it's okay. Now Spider-Man is a guy named Ben Reilly who doesn't know any of the supporting who knows all the supporting characters but will never, ever interact with them. Now he's a schlub who works at a coffee house.
The only good thing that came out of that was when he ran across Venom for the first time.
Yes.
And Venom couldn't believe how could Parker deal with such a psychotic murderer.
Yes.
You know, which is how it should have played out. It should have played out the way Superior Spider-Man played out. But the writing, you didn't have Dan Slott writing it. You didn't you had too much Marvel editorial bumping in there. You know, and it should have, maybe if they'd have kept it the way Slott did. I mean, what if Marvel came down and said, oh, Slott, this Superior Spider-Man's brilliant. Let's just keep it going for another couple years. You know, that might be the best comparison we can give of a concept that didn't work because of various reasons versus one that did.
Well, I've read the long history of the Ben Reilly story. And from the editors who were working at Marvel at the time, they didn't even have control. What it was, sales on comics were falling. And rather than trying to focus on, okay, let's do what we can to make the stories good. They handed way too much editorial control to marketing. And marketing would come in and go, all right, we need to do a big crossover. We're going to do this, this, and this. We need special covers for, like, you know, this.
Don't these guys read the Dilbert cartoon? That's always a bad idea.
But whenever John Byrne starts talking about honoring the original creators with his work, while Jack Kirby was still alive, he did a story in Action Comics where Big Barda is raped repeatedly for a porno.
From Chicken Brown Cow. Yeah, I think that's, if you go to Crack.
I don't think Jack Kirby would have wanted that story.
If you go to crack.com and look up like 6 worst sexual things in comic books, that is one of them.
Kirby was kind of well known for not wanting sexual themes in regular comics. So here comes John Byrne. I'm going to honor him by taking this character who he has a lot of affection for, and she's good.
And so the question is when you confront Byrne with this, as people may be tempted to do,
you get banned from his site, first off. And he won't address it. He will erase the question.
Yep.
Which, it's his board.
Yeah.
He can do what he wants.
I've always wondered about the mindset of people like that. You know, it's like, I mean, in politics, yeah, I expect that. You know, that's what Jon Stewart built his whole show on. I say this today. Well, that's funny. 5 years ago, you said that, the exact opposite. But in real life, when people do that, it just baffles me. I mean, is there any brain cell in Byrne's head that goes, John, you know, he's right. You might want to. Shut up, brain. I kill you with beer now. I stab you with a Q-tip.
I kill you 9 times. I think, and to get a little off topic, I think for
me.
Not
that we've ever done that before.
No, we never. I think that for me, one of the things where I kind of did a huge amount of personal growth, and I now almost judge people by it, is how you handle if you made a mistake or you've changed your mind. Not just in comics, but in politics and all these other things. It's become like the worst sin ever to change your mind. And myself, I will say, you know what? I got new facts. I found out something different. I talked to someone who thinks differently than me, and I've changed my mind on this subject. Or, you know what? I made a mistake. I did something stupid. I'm going to own it. Because when you make a mistake, if you don't own it, that shows who you are. And as Dave Shearer constantly quotes Harry Chapin, after all, it's what we've done that makes us what we are. If you own your mistakes and say, you know what, I screwed up, I learned from it, I think you're a much better and more secure person than and I'll go to job interviews. What's the biggest mistake you've made in your life when it comes to business? And a lot of people, you read online and they give you all these weasel answers. Oh, you know, it was when I worked too hard or when I gave too much or blah, 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 blah. When people ask me in a job interview, Corey, what's the biggest mistake you made? I say, you know what? There was a time when my group home that I was in charge of went from a 6-bed facility to a 15-bed co-ed facility. And we were told by the county that was helping us do this, oh, don't worry about hiring new staff. We won't have the place filled up for another 3 months. And we took it as, oh, okay, we've got 3 months to fill this up. We were full 3 weeks later. We didn't have nearly enough staff. And what did I learn from that mistake? I learned that when you're gonna open something, you'd best be ready for it to be full. Because you can always have time. Oh, look, we're not very busy. We've got time to do stuff. But if you are if you're saying, oh, you know, we won't be full, you're gonna be full. It's like if you open a comic shop and said, oh, you know, for the first few weeks, nobody will be there. So, you know, we won't pay attention to our schedule and we won't have enough staff and maybe we won't have everything set up in place. You know that when you open that door, you're going to have a line out the door because Superman died.
He got better.
Every time I think of that, your first week was when Superman died.
Yep. I told Dan Juergens, I said, you know, with the sales we made, we could afford to do things like buy a phone.
after that, you know, after that day, it's like, Wednesdays are easy. It's not like Superman died again. Well, I've taken up a whole bunch of time. Joe, did you have any topics?
Corey, I just have one question.
Always.
Did you eat your meat?
No.
No pudding for you.
Okay. I make bread pudding.
You can't have pudding. How can you have pudding if you don't eat your meat?
By the way, do you know why they say that in the wall?
Negative.
In Britain, Great Britain, well, you know, they That's say so they're great. Great. I don't know.
They're not like the best dressed country in the world.
All desserts are called pudding. So rather than what's for dessert, it's what's for pudding.
What I loved is when I had an argument with people at work because, as you know, we have a thing about liquids. Don't like them, don't love them, don't want them through the checkpoint. So naturally, when someone would come through with a big organic blob, I mean, what is it? Oh, it's bread pudding. Well, you can't bring pudding through. And I'd be, yes, they can. But we don't allow pudding. It's not really pudding. It's a cake. But it says pudding. Okay. A, I said yes. And B, when I'm done, we're going to go to Wikipedia and look up bread pudding. As if I find one more bread pudding in the discarded bin, I'm going to find the person who did it and have them eat this fruitcake, which also is what might be lethal, is not a liquid.
I make a very good fruitcake. You know what the secret of a good fruitcake is?
Fruit.
Rum and lots of it.
In it or while you're making it?
Both.
Ah.
You know why a fruitcake lasts so long? We're getting into cooking stuff now.
I know. We did. And you know the other thing we should do? We should give a prize to whoever can get every pop culture reference we throw in a show.
But you know why they're preserved so long? Because if they're made properly, every few days you have a spray bottle and you spray it with rum. And then when it's dry, you spray it with rum again. And you keep doing that for like a month and a half. So if you've had a fruitcake that didn't make you tipsy, you've had a crap fruitcake. Anything else, Joe?
I think we're good.
All right. You know what that means then? You know who else is good?
These guys are sponsors?
Yes! You may not be able to join the Mighty Marvel Marching Society anymore, or even the Friends of Old Marvel, but you can visit our sponsors. Our oldest sponsor is DreamHost.com. DreamHost.com is the best, bar none, web host in the whole known universe. If you need a website, go to DreamHost.com. They will take care of you as they've been taking care of me for over 15 years. If you use the code CRAZY, that's K-R-A-Y-Z, you get $20 off your first year of hosting. If you are listening to this podcast, you are very good looking. That's right. As a good looking person, you can't trust your skin to any old razor. That's why you need to shave with the amazing razors you could get delivered from the Dollar Shave Club. Every month they send a box with your shaving supplies. At the beginning of the week, or whenever you want, you pop in a fresh blade and get that fresh blade shave. It feels fantastic, and it's just one of the many, many ways that you can maintain the good looks that everyone has come to expect from you. And if you join us at the Dollar Shave Club, their plans start at just $3 a month. They have a money-back guarantee, and there is no excuse for you to ever use any other razor. So just go to dollarshaveclub.com/crazy, K-R-A-Y-Z, to get started. One of the things you need to do this year, you need to get healthy. We all need to be healthy so we can all hang out a lot longer. And one of the ways to get healthy is not to go down to the vending machine and buy those chips or those candy bars or any of the other vending machine snacks. You want healthy snacks picked out by actual chefs who know what they're doing, and you can do that at graze.com. And if you use the code CORYS3R5P, your first and fifth box are free, so you can try it out. See if that's the kind of stuff you like. That's CORYS3R5P. Our final sponsor is Worldwide News. Worldwide News is the story of the lowest rated cable news network and the people who work there. It is updated twice a week by writer Corey Strode. Hey, that's me! And artist Dangerous Dan Moore. Worldwide News at worldwidenews.solitairerose.com, part of the Solitaire Rose family of websites. If you would like to contact us, there are a whole bunch of ways. You can email us at corey.strode@gmail.com. You can give us a call. We have a voice line that is open at all times at 952-856-0519, or you could go to Facebook and join the Crazy Comics and Stuff fan page. If you would like to advertise on Crazy Comics and Stories or on Solitaire Rose Radio, you can. Just send me an email at corey.strode@gmail.com. Subject: advertising. Thanks. What a bunch of good eggs.
I like the tarot. It was fun to take your line for a change.
And did you hear the new sponsor we had? We have an Amazon store now.
Ooh, what's in it?
Right now, just comics. But as we review and go over comics that we like, we're going to add them to the store.
Cool. And, of course, if you buy something through the Amazon store, through the links that Corey will graciously provide you, it'll help him pay for all the band here with that we're burning up talking about weather and cooking and, you know, as opposed to comics.
Fruitcakes. And here's the beautiful
TSA
thing.
TSA tribulations and trials.
It doesn't cost you a penny more than if you just went to Amazon itself. So
yep.
We're not asking for much. We just want to wet our beak a little.
Speaking of which, it's awfully dry in here.
It's time for freaking and geeking. Joe, what are you freaking on?
Well, my bachelor days are over. In a couple days here, by the time this next your podcast is recorded, I'll be out of this luxurious room, which I currently call my man cave, be transformed back into what's going to be called Dana's room, and I'll return to the depths of the vault, where I think was a couple of podcasts ago I was recording from. So, not a real big difference. It's just, you know, here I'm upstairs. I can look outside at the lovely Canadian haze versus being downstairs and just watching spiders make web on my prized comic books. So the worst part about it is just I've got to clean up the house. Now, I'm not messy. I mean, the rabbit is. I've been pretty much letting it run all over the kitchen for the last 2 weeks. So I've got to kind of sweep and clean up where it's decided to drop its little raisinettes. But as Corey can attest from the comic shops I've had, I am a clutter guy. You give me a flat surface and I will pile it with stuff. And what's even more interesting is that it's stuff that I probably will never get to again because I'm busy piling this flat surface full of stuff. Dana's bed right now is a current mass orgy of items, mostly things that I put in my eBay store, things like that. So I've got to basically disassemble everything here, including the computer, bring it downstairs, bring it back. Pretty much, let's see, clean the bathroom. If the lawn's dried out from the massive rains we got, I'll do the lawn. I got to scrub down the kitchen, do the laundry. I've only used about 4 dishes. I imagine I'll clean those. So just got to kind of reassemble the house into something acceptable for my wife. I was reading, I got a copy of New Teen Titans Volume 1, the original ones that Wolfman and Perez did. And these are ones that I have enjoyed reading. I read them when they first came out. People forget at one time the New Teen Titans, were as popular as the X-Men. They actually, did they do a crossover with the two eventually? I think Walt Simonson did that. So they, I mean, it was like they were hot. To go back and find a copy of DC Comics Presents, was it 26 that had the first appearance?
Yes.
Boy, that, I mean, I remember.
That thing knocked you back away.
Oh, I remember selling them as high as 30, maybe even more dollars. I'm not sure what it's at now. So I got up to number 4, and basically the beginning, and again, if I'm ruining a, 40-year-old comic, 30-year-old comic from the 80s, don't listen to the next bit. But they get up to New Teen Titans number 4. Now, the gist of it is Raven knows the bad guy's coming because she's related to him, which we find out as the story goes on. And first she contacts the Justice League, who blow her off because Zatanna decides that she's evil. So I'm reading issue 4, and this is the big, of course, reveal about Raven, and you know, it's I think the Titans are under some type of mind control. Batman recognizes it, and they end up fighting the Justice League. They end up going to this giant rock where these sorcerers are trying to stop Trigon from coming through. The Justice League, and again, I've read this twice, I still have no idea why, decide they have to stop the sorcerers, even though they don't have any idea what the hell's going on. By stopping the sorcerers, they allow Triton to come through. Now, I'm pretty sure the Justice League were, you know, maybe they were knocked out or they were just stupid. But Triton, and I'm going to quote this in my best Triton, "The pathway is now clear into your dimension. Once my herald has tamed your people's flesh, then I shall arrive to claim their fragile soul." So when everybody gets up, basically Robin is telling you, you guys really blew it this time. They were stopping it. Because of you, these sorcerers, Triton's free. And Batman, how do you know this? Well, because Raven told us. No, you guys just were fighting Titan. You were just, or Trigon, you were just fighting him. And because, again, Zatanna says, no, she feels evil, everybody decides, oh, well, I guess this Triton guy must be fake. When, you know, his Justice League go off to wherever, and of course the Titans go angst and ignore her, which again leads up to the next issue where they have to have the big reveal why they're going to stay together as a team. And to me, what keeps glaring in my head, how stupid was the Justice League? I mean, because of this stupid plot device, that's what allows Trigon to come to Earth. And that's what keeps the story going. But I cannot believe the Justice League are that stupid. Okay, Marv, I'll give you this one, maybe because it's all the way back in the 80s. And again, as I read this, even I thought, well, that was kind of stupid. They were sitting there, the Justice League were fighting, and this giant pentagram with evil-looking eyes were shooting beams through, knocking everybody out. Granted, he pretty much wiped everybody out, so maybe they were unconscious when they heard Trigon's big speech, but doesn't a pentagram glowing red with evil eyes shooting beams at you say, yeah, maybe there's evil trying to get through? It's the same bitch I have now with the current JLA line. You know, they're so busy worried about, well, you know, Lex Luthor, obviously a bad guy. They're not thinking, what the hell got the crime syndicate to escape from their Earth, destroy their Earth, that's now coming our way? Again, a major brain fart that has to happen in order for the Justice League not to power up and go after and figure out it's the Anti-Monitor. I'm not a comic writer, but when I see the flaws, there's something wrong with the story, people. And I don't bitch a lot about comic books, but really, these two here, I just. And on top of that, I missed Weird Al Yankovic. He came to Mystic Lake Casino on July 3rd, which is up north of us. I had to work. I couldn't get off. So I've had it. Titans, JLA, Weird Al. I've had enough. Corey, what are you freaking on? What's got you going?
Well, we found out why Marvel doesn't make big announcements at San Diego anymore. Someone flat out asked Marvel editor Tom Brevoort, why don't you make your big announcement?
Let's say that name again. Brevoort. I giggle just saying it.
Why don't Marvel make their big announcement there no more?
Yeah, why, Bob?
And
where there, Brevy?
And he said, and I completely agree, and I'll even explain a little more, the signal-to-noise ratio is so big, any announcement you make gets lost. If it doesn't have to do with a fall TV show, no one cares. Image had the Image Expo last week. They announced 40 new series.
Good God.
Marvel had their big announcement. Three of the big movie studios have said that they're not even going to bother to show up anymore. It's because there's too much going on. It's too focused on TV because you've got the fall TV season. Everybody's, okay, here's the panel of the actors talking about what's coming on TV this fall. Whereas, you know, the comic panels get smaller and smaller and smaller to the point where Marvel, they're really not going to put a whole lot of work into it because I bet they got a much bigger bang for their buck announcing all those new series last week than they would have at San Diego. You know, Conan O'Brien's going to be broadcasting from the San Diego Comic-Con. Do you think he's going to mention a comic book?
Not unless he's in it.
Yeah. The next thing is I was looking at the Marvel Masterworks coming out in September. Joe, did you know that Submariner is on his 7th Marvel Masterwork?
I didn't know he had that many comics.
I think the Submariner series went to issue 73 in the 70s. They're doing basically they're near the end of the 70s run. Joe, those comics aren't any good. They don't need to be a $75 hardcover. So we're getting crappy 70s Submariner comics, and yet, oh yeah, the Golden Age stuff, the Atomic Age stuff, the pre Marvel horror stuff, nah, we're not going to bother with that for a couple of years. I'm wondering how long till we get Marvel Masterworks Team America. Marvel Masterworks US 1.
Yep, double bag must have.
Yeah, I'm starting to think they're running out of comics to reprint. Let's see, the other thing. I read the Alan Moore Crossed Plus 100. Have you read it, Joe?
I bought the New World Order edition, which was bags, and I haven't even taken my Miracle Man out of the baggies yet.
I like me some Alan Moore. I think Alan Moore is a pretty amazing writer. I think he's done some really good work. This is not it.
So I should just leave them bagged and just put them on eBay.
Yeah, they're terrible. They're god awful. I like zombie stories. These are terrible zombie stories. This reads like Night of the Living Dead fan fiction written by a 12-year-old in 1969. When I read an Alan Moore story, I expect things on a deeper level. I expect Watchmen. I expect From Hell. I even expect 1963. I wonder if Alan Moore even saw these books, let alone wrote them. It's terrible, unreadable crap. Alamore, you disappointed me. And it kind of shows me why I don't buy a lot of Avatar books. I have yet to read something from Avatar that I've enjoyed. The art is usually over busy. Looks like it was drawn for color, so it's hard to tell what's going on because it needs the color to separate out what is what. The artists are pretty bad at background and foreground and things like that. And, you know, nothing ever seems to come out when it's supposed to. That's right. Warren Ellis, Dr. Sleepless. You know that book you said was going to outsell everything you ever did and then you just kind of lost interest? Yeah, glad I didn't buy that one. What else did I have? Oh, Joe, you know the TNA Wrestling, the TNA Impact?
Is that porn thing you were showing me before?
No, it's a wrestling company that's been around for 13 years.
Yeah. Hogan and Bischoff and all those guys were on it once upon a time.
Yeah. It's starting to look like it may not be dead, but it's coughing up blood.
Getting all over the carpet.
And if I worked there, let's just say that I'd be spending 6 out of my 8-hour day sending out resumes.
Hope you didn't buy a home.
Oh, their ratings are pretty bad. And the show before them, which is a rerun of the Ring of Honor syndicated show, is getting about 75% of the audience. So a show that has already been shown is doing almost as well as the brand new, much more expensive Impact. Now, they've made a lot of mistakes over the years, but at one point, TNA was my favorite company when it was Samoa Joe and AJ Styles and Christopher Daniels kind of leading the company. They put on some amazing wrestling. They pulled in people from Ring of Honor. They were putting on good shows. Once Hogan and Bischoff took over, it really took a dumper, and it just has gotten worse over the years. So I would not be looking for the TNA Impact toys
pick them up because they might be they could be valuable later on. Some of those early ECW ones go for some silly money.
Yeah, but those WCW ones don't go for anything.
Some of them do. Some of the more weirder ones, like Hack, you know.
Hey, do you want this Buff Bagwell figure? Come on. I'll pay you to take it.
Well, the best thing
don't want it in the house
anymore. The best
thing
about Buff Bagwell is it came with a breakaway wheelchair. Just like Hack came away with its own beer cart.
And then the last thing I have, I looked over what DC is doing. They're putting out a new form of omnibus where they're reprinting the earliest Batman stories. This will be the 7th time they have reprinted these stories in various formats. Hey, do you want those early Batman stories again? Because here they are, much more expensive. Load up, kids. And then they wonder why the reprint sales aren't good. It's because the people who buy the reprints are like, yeah, I have that. I have that in hardcover. I have that in paperback. I have it in the Chronicles. I have it. Yeah, I don't need to buy it for a 4th time. Joe, what are you geeking on? What do you love?
Can I toss in one more free thing here?
I suppose.
We are never, and I mean ever, going back to San Diego Comic-Con.
So you're going to trash them?
No, I'm online reading this thing because I think we're, is this the weekend before Comic-Con?
Comic-Con, as we're recording, Comic-Con starts in 2 days.
So it'll be over with by the time y'all listen to it, or?
Yes, by the time this is posted, San Diego Comic-Con is over.
Yep, and I'll be on eBay looking for all the exclusives that I might have gone for. But I'm just reading about this. It talks about the crazy lengths people go for San Diego Comic-Con. And first of all, getting a badge is a lottery. Getting a hotel is a lottery. Getting a parking spot is a lottery.
I'm like,
you know, they're almost too successful. Normal mortals will never, ever get to go to Comic-Con. And judging by what you said, it's probably not, might not be worth it. especially now for
comics. And all the stuff I'm seeing is, oh, this guy's doing a stand-up show every night at Comic-Con. This guy's doing this. This guy's doing this. I'm not seeing a lot of comic book-based stuff. Whereas at the New York City Comic-Con, they do a lot of comic-based stuff. C2E2 does a lot of comic book-based stuff. San Diego has pretty much become PaleyFest West, where it's, oh, you can meet the stars of Grey's Anatomy. And maybe they'll answer a question of yours, but you're in a hall with 3,000 people.
Assuming you got in there from the line. I'm just reading this stuff about reserving a parking spot. I'm amazed you and I were able to park at the Underground Garage.
We did it once. Most of the time we took that shuttle.
Yeah.
But there was one time we messed up. We were running late, so we had to drive, and we were able to park. And I remember it cost a lot.
Mm-hmm.
It cost a lot.
Yeah. Well, we got there.
Yeah, we did.
All right, enough about that.
Geeking. What are you geeking on, Joe? What are you loving?
Well, you know, every time I have a day off, I have what I call a lazy day.
What's a day off?
I know, and I'm going to get three of them. Ain't it great? And so...
I know that those words are English, but I don't know what they mean.
I'm on my Wikipedia. It's on there somewhere. Everything's on Wikipedia. And if it's not, we'll put it there. So I figure, you know, I got a lot of things I could do. I could start the cleaning. I could get some stuff on eBay. I could do whatever. I just had a lazy day. I just kind of bopped around online. I went out, got some dinner. I come home, and I'm just kind of, I noticed there's Big Bang reruns. I flip on NASCAR, there's a rain delay, and then I flipped on women's soccer. Oh, I'm not a big sports fan. I mean, if it ain't pro wrestling, I'm not really into it. I'm a local guy, but damn, that was fun. And when I came in, it was already like 4-0. And I was like, wait a minute, what the hell just happened here? Soccer's a game where it goes like for hours and then it becomes 1-1. And it was something to watch. I mean, I'm not feeling, you know, incredible pride. I am very impressed. I offer my congratulations, and I am just in awe of the physicality of these women on both teams to be able to play that for, I mean, what is it, 2 90-minute periods?
Yeah, that's something like that. I don't know.
Soccer, it was just incredible to watch. And then, eventually, I just watched Big Bang, and then I just hunkered everything down for the incoming rainstorm. Apparently, I missed some really sick crashes on NASCAR. There was one where a freaking car went airborne, hit the fence, and took it out. And apparently, 13 people got injured just from flying debris. And then, of course, in the Tour de France, there was another sick crash. Oh, I like me them crashes. I'm just glad nobody was killed or hurt. In the soccer game, too. Last week, I may give you a hard time, and I may deride you and mock you mercilessly, but Corey bought me pie. One more thing off the bucket list.
And we went to Denny's, and I ordered, oh, I just ordered the regular French toast meal. I swear to God, they brought enough food for her.
Well, you got a side of pancakes, too.
Well, I can't eat the bacon. I can't eat the sausage. Here's the thing, Joe. The pancakes had fewer calories than the bacon you had.
Mm-hmm.
And then we moved a desk. So I'm already feeling, I'm feeling like Oliver Hardy in a Laurel and Hardy film trying to move stuff. But the desk is in the house. It is in the hall. It is in the comic library. And the file cabinet that the former roommate left is now outside. That file cabinet is the bane of my existence. Goddamn thing must weigh like 600 pounds.
And then the windstorm came and knocked Corey's mobile home over because the file cabinet wasn't there weighting it down.
The file cabinet's still sitting there perfectly fine outside. Nobody wants it for some reason.
I should have looked at it. I could use a good file cabinet.
If you want it, come get it.
Yeah, I don't know. If you buy me pie, that's a long ways over for a free file cabinet. Take a picture of it and send it to me. Maybe I will come over and pick it up.
I'll be like that. I have put a thing on a couple websites where, you know, you offer free stuff and it says, here, come get this. I don't want it. No one has come and gotten it.
Let's see. Today, I spent most of my day filling up my eBay store. I actually got off my duff and did something after having a lazy day.
Actually, you were on your duff while doing it. I doubt you were standing up and moving.
No, things. There were a lot of moving because one of the problems I have is I've got a big file full of all the scans I've taken of all the comics. And because I donated a lot of the comics to the SpringCon charity store, and then Gruber sold a bunch of stuff at his table. So I don't have a record of what I've sold versus what I have. And the last thing I want to do is put something on the eBay store that I don't physically have that I could, you know, sell. So I spent a lot of time getting up, going to the box, flip, 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 flip. Then I spent an hour just alphabetizing everything so I didn't have to keep flipping all the time. It was a lot easier just to go to letter J in comics rather than flip through everything because you're pretty sure you have that copy of Loki number one, but it just wasn't right where you thought it. Oh, there it is, right next to the Batman. So, and in the meantime, I was able to get quite a bit up on eBay. Again, it's crazy comics and stuff, and you just www.that or go to our Facebook page and whatever. And
actually, you have a link on the advertising, too.
Cool. Thank you.
So if you go to the page and go to Joe's Stuff, it's Joe's eBay store.
And again, if you do see something you're interested in, first of all, don't feel bad to a lot of things I put, make an offer on. I didn't really crow too much about it, but one of the prize things I had from the Crazy Comic days was a signed copy of, hang on a second, I gotta go find it here. Stupid panel disappeared. It was the Justice League Avengers crossover. It was the hardcover slipcase edition. And it was basically signed by everybody that was involved with it. And it had a couple head sketches as well, which was kind of cool. It retailed for like
a bajillion dollars.
Pretty much. $600 was the retail. And I've had people make offers, you know, $100. It's like, no, you're thinking it's the regular one. You're not buying it because it's the book. You're buying it for the signatures. Somebody did finally make an offer, and I did sell it. So if you do see something you're interested in, you'd be surprised some of the offers I make. I'll go low, especially if it's something I've been sitting on forever. If you tell me you're one of these here listeners, you know, first of all, I might do something nice and toss in something extra or give you free shipping. Or maybe just because you are a listener, I will sell it below my cost. So,
ooh.
Just having fun. Anyways, that's how I spent most of the day. It was kind of fun just, you know, figuring out which items I had, which ones I didn't. Certain books I thought, oh, yeah, I have them. No, I must have sold it for charity. Other books I'm like, yeah, I know I sold that. Oh, there it is. It's just misfiled. So tomorrow, and you, if you were listening, you might have heard a bing in the background. Somebody contacted me and wants me to go appraise their toy collection. We're talking like 1970 G.I. Joes. There's, I can't think of it, Max Bendy toys, Spaceman toys. We were going to do it today. Well, yesterday was, you know, just too damn hot. Today was too damn wet. But tomorrow is just right. So he just contacted me. If you ever got something you want me to look at or appraise or, you know, if you're just scared of that there Google eBay stuff, you can always contact me at my Gmail address, crazycomics@gmail.com. So that was kind of fun. And then, of course, on Wednesday, after all the cleaning's done, after I've reassembled my man cave back in my cave, my daughter and my family's coming home. So I'm looking forward to that. And who knows, maybe Dana will be the first solo Joe. It'd be kind of fun to hear what she's been doing over there in Italy. Other than learning that there Italian thing. I swear, those guys got a different word for everything.
Well, not for pastas.
That's true. Okay, now.
They stole our words for pasta.
The other thing I've been able to do, I read me a lot of comic books. And I'll just kind of flip through them all. We've talked about Xander Cannon's Kaiju Max. Issue 3 came out, and I'm enjoying this book more and more. It looks like he's doing six-issue arcs and then a book, so pick it up. Part 4 of The Big Con Job came out. That's the old Star Trek people going to rob the San Diego Comic-Con. Oh, that's pretty convenient. I picked up Bizarro number 2. I'm going to stick with it. Howard the Duck number 4, Silver Surfer. These are all just books that I picked up.
The Silver Smurfer.
Which I still enjoy. Spider-Gwen is... I don't think I'm going to continue Spider-Gwen. I'm not really digging it that much. I'm not feeling it. Part of the... and, of course, I may change because if she ends up getting dumped into the normal Marvel Universe, that may change. But I'm reading this and it's just... it's not really doing it. And then I sat down and I read me some Secret Wars. Ultimate End, Amazing Spider-Man, Renew Your Vows, Thor's, Old Man Logan, which I was able to find issues 1 and 2, Infinity Gauntlet, which so far is the weakest out of all of them, Korvac Saga. The Source had the PX Preview C2E2 Secret Wars, Deadpool Secret Wars, number 1. I was able to find number 2 when Corey and I took a stop during our desk adventures over at Hot Comics in Richfield. Where Monsters Dwell, Future Imperfect, Weird World, Secret Wars 29.9. I am having a blast reading these. It is so much fun. I can't remember a time when I've read a crossover tied into the main event, and I've thought most of the time it's like, I probably didn't need to read this, but I am really enjoying all these, almost to the point where I feel like going out and buying all the other ones I missed. But I'm not. I'm just going to stick with what I got. I picked up Old Man Logan. I picked up your recommendation, Corey, the Deadpool Secret Wars, and I'm enjoying all that. It'll be interesting to see now that you get to the end of Secret Wars, was it 4 that just came out? And yes. You see what happens, and without really revealing too much, you know, maybe that's why everything's delayed, because that had to happen, and maybe it will have an effect on all the crossover books. Or not. Either way, I'm having fun, so it should be cool. That's pretty much it.
Well... for me, you know how...
Hey, I didn't ask you yet. Don't be impertinent.
Yeah, I'm used to you not
asking.
But I listen to you.
You bought me pie. I have to ask. Corey,
all right.
What are you geeking on? What's got you happy?
Well, Friday, July 3rd, was supposed to be my first day off since the MSP Comic-Con. And I guess it was kind of a day off. But I recorded a podcast with my friend Tommy about the first 5 issues of Mad, which will be out on Wednesday of this week. And I did get some relaxing in, but I got a phone call, a panicked phone call from the group home, asking if I would come in that evening. And when I said no, they said, well, can you come in and work from 10 p.m. till 7 in the morning when my shift on Saturday would start? And I said, well, you know, this is my first day off in a long time. And they said, well, we'll pay you to sleep, because they eliminated sleeping shifts, except when they're unbelievably desperate. So July 4th weekend, they're unbelievably desperate. Joe, is there a better job on this planet than getting paid to sleep?
I was going to say president, but I think the sleep thing got it. Pope would be cool.
Every time they need a new pope, I campaign for it. Some people say I won't get it because I'm not Catholic. But, yeah, I think that's just prejudice on their part.
Pretty much.
It's time for an atheist pope.
Who would God talk to then? I mean, what's in it for him?
How would it be any different from now?
Hey, the pope's talking to somebody.
Well, he says he
is. Maybe it's that guy Art caught in a ductwork. that makes sense. Our Father who art in heaven.
Not even the crickets like that.
That was an old Night Court joke, so never mind.
The crickets are starting to develop taste. That could be dangerous.
I wonder what they taste like.
I was looking through the previews, and one of my favorite indie comics has been scooped up by IDW. Atomic Robo is going to be getting a nice, big, thick old trade paperback coming out in September. And I'm telling you, folks, if you have not read Atomic Robo, go read Atomic Robo when it comes out. I cannot recommend this book highly enough. It's fun. It's funny. It's well done. It's wonderfully drawn. Atomic Robo, and being at IDW, that's going to raise its profile a bit, which means it's probably going to come out more often, because if the profile's raised and the creators make more money, they don't have to do other jobs in order to pay for printing the book. On my pseudo day off, I did sit out on the porch with a big old frosty beverage and read a comic history tome that has been promised us for almost 10 years now, Swamp Men by Tomorrow's Publications, finally came out, and I finally had a chance to read it. They do a history of swamp monsters in comics, including interviews with Steve Gerber, Alan Moore, and other people who worked on very similar characters. If you're at all interested in comic book history, this one goes all the way from the Heap and the Golden Age to the more modern swamp creatures and how they came about and how the creators worked with them. Tomorrow's, when they put their heads to it, can put out some really good comic book history books, and this one's one of their top 10. Really loved it. Let's see. Wrestling. I've been watching some wrestling. WWE had a Japanese event. They had a house show over in Japan, and they actually broadcast it live on the WWE Network. They called it the Beast in the East because Brock Lesnar was headlining the show. It started at 5:30 in the morning.
Did you get up?
No, I was at work, but I watched it as soon as I got home. It looked very different. Japanese fans are not the fans from years ago where they would just sit and be quiet and then applaud at the end of the match. They interact more. But the thing I really liked about it was WWE couldn't have, you know, the big Titantrons and the pyro and all that. It looked very different. They were able to focus on the wrestling, and the wrestling was really, really good. AXS
TV. I read the PW Insider's review on that, and they pretty much said like you did. It was almost a feel from like the old school shows where there wasn't so much presentation of getting to the ring. It was just get to the ring, and that's where the story was being told.
Yep. And you had an NXT match. You had streamers in the ring, which is a very Japanese thing. It was just a great show. But also, Access TV, AXS, which used to be High Def, and it's changed names a number of times. Friday nights are showing New Japan Pro Wrestling. And they're taking New Japan's big shows and turning them into hour-long TV shows. Plus, Ring of Honor has a lot of New Japan stars. And we got Wrestle Kingdom. The latest Wrestle Kingdom is a pay-per-view. So we're getting a lot of Japanese wrestling. And I really like it. It's a different style than what we're used to in the U.S. And a lot of fun to watch. And it's all in the ring. So I'm very happy we're getting a lot of good wrestling. To the point where, by the time this airs on Monday, Ring of Honor will have been in Hopkins again, and I will have gone to the show. Joe, or when do you get off work Saturday night?
I'm off. But as it's my first weekend with my wife home, I will...
Not going to make...
Well, I'll be in contact. By that time, she might be tired of me.
Okay. So I'll probably talk a little about the Ring of Honor, but I want to make a big announcement, because I'm really getting geeked about this. We are adding a new podcast to the Solitaire Rose Radio Network in September. We are in negotiations to add two more podcasts to the Solitaire Rose Radio Network later in the year. So there's going to be more stuff for you people to listen to.
And on top of that, the original Crazy Foam is back.
I don't even know what that is.
That was those canisters that you used to squirt and like foam would come out and you get it all over people and your mom would say, why'd you take that outside?
Oh, okay. My mom wouldn't let me have that stuff.
That's very wise.
Probably.
But it comes in Marvel and DC, so it's also kind of a body wash, shampoo, conditioner type thing. So,
well, kids, you've listened to us blather on about comic books, weather, and wrestling for at least an hour and a half. You're not going to say anything?
No.
Okay. And as we say every week, kids, the comic we like the least, we still like better than the comic that you like the most. Joe?
Hot air balloon operators don't make very good friends. Sure, they can be uplifting at times, but in the end, they always bring you down. Ho-ho! Somebody hit my music. Call my mama. I feel like dancing.
Funk is on a roll. Funk is on a roll.
Hey, 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 yo. Can somebody call my mama? It's about to get funky up in here.
The end.